A new bill proposed in Wisconsin would require older drivers to get their licenses renewed more often. Senator Fred Risser is a sponsor of the bill. He's a Democratic state senator from Madison. Senator Risser, thanks for joining us today.
Good afternoon.
So what exactly would your bill require?
Well, many states require that older drivers have extra tests or extra qualifications. The bill we've introduced would say that those drivers 75 and older would have to apply for a license every 4 years rather than every 8 years. And secondly, it would require that at every four-year application, they would have to have their eyes checked. The bill does not require a new road test, does not require a physical test, as some states do. It's an effort to make our highways safer for all of us that drive, and it's also an effort to alert older people that they should start thinking about their capabilities of driving.
Why do you think the bill is needed?
Well, as I say, the bill is needed because insurance statistics prove that most accidents are caused by either the very young or the very old. And unfortunately, those older people involved in accidents are involved in more fatal accidents. It's a way of trying to make the highways safer for all of us. As I say, most states in the union do require extraordinary efforts to qualify older people to drive. Many states require physicals. I'm not going that far.
What would you say to some who might look at this and think that this is age discrimination?
Well, you know, I don't think it's age discrimination at all. I think that some people are qualified to drive up until they're 100 years old. Others people are never qualified to drive. Age is not the significant thing. But the statistics show that the older people are, as a group, more apt to get involved in accidents. They're more apt to be inattentive drivers. They apt to have more problems with their eyes, and the highways we want to make as safe as possible. I don't think it's age discrimination at all. I think it's a helpful thing for all of us.
Are you optimistic that your bill will pass in the state legislature?
Well, I've gotten some co-sponsorship from both sides of the aisle, and in talking to the Motor Vehicle Department, they seem very supportive of the idea. It's a way of trying to make our highways safer. And it doesn't discriminate against anyone because a person who's older and able to drive can continue to drive as long as they're able to do so.
Well, Senator, thanks for joining us for a few minutes.
Thank you for having me.
That was Senator Fred Risser, Democratic State Senator from Madison.
Now we'll learn how driving becomes different as we age, and we'll learn how to start a conversation with an older loved one about their driving. We want to hear from you on this. Do you think older people should have to renew their driver's licenses more often? Why or why not? Have you dealt with this issue in your family or maybe dealt with yourself, or you're about to have this conversation over the holidays? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or send an email, talk@WPR.org.
Sue Sweeney joins us now. She's the head of the Department of Gerontology at Medina University in Michigan. Sue, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
How does driving change as we age?
Well, we change and some of our abilities change, but I really want to make the point that aging is so individualized that it's hard to make generalizations about it. And it really needs to be assessed on an individual basis because the process of aging can be much more rapid in one person and slower in another, and even organ systems within one person age at different rates, so that it is important to assess each situation individually. And also I want to make the point that driving isn't an all-or-nothing sort of thing. As we age, we tend to have difficulties with some different aspects of driving. Vision impairments can pose a problem. Sometimes arthritis in the neck makes it difficult for us to turn our heads and really check that blind spot. We may have difficulties with sensation or coordination of our feet, so that we might have difficulty pressing on the accelerator or the brake. And then cognitive impairment really comes into play as people maybe are in early stages of dementia and don't have the judgment that they need, or don't have the ability to find their way as readily. So all of those things can become complications as we age in the process of driving.
Let's talk about, you mentioned that this is an individualized nature and we shouldn't generalize on the elderly. First, let's talk about how we can do sort of a self-assessment. When do we start to know that maybe we shouldn't be driving alone?
I think that people sort of start to know. It's a question whether they want to admit it to themselves sometimes, but if you find yourself confused about where you are, or you're having some near misses, you know, you didn't judge a distance correctly, or left turns in particular seem to have pose a challenge for older adults. And so, you know, maybe you realize you didn't judge that the speed of the oncoming car well enough, and it was a near miss. You know, if you find yourself scraping the side of the car coming out of the driveway, or going up on the curb when you're making a turn, even though you're turning at a proper speed, all of those things would be indicators. Or if you find yourself getting really nervous driving on the expressway because, you know, there are so many sensory inputs, there's so many judgments you have to make, and the speeds are high. All of those things, I think, are cues that a person might pay attention to and begin to make some changes. And I think, you know, as I said, driving isn't all or nothing. Many older adults begin to self-regulate their driving as they notice some of these changes. So they, if they see that they don't see as well at night and they have a lot of difficulty with glare from the headlights, they might decide, well, you know, I'm not driving at night anymore. Or if they get on the expressway and it just seems overwhelming and they get very nervous, they might say, well, I'm just taking surface streets now. Talking to a family friend recently, she said she doesn't do left turns anymore. She looks at a map and she figures out how she can make three right turns and, you know, go where she wants to go, but without putting herself at risk of those judgments that are required in making a left turn.
Is there anything that someone can do maybe to keep their skills sharp? Is that possible?
Yeah, absolutely. There's a program through the American Association of Retired Persons. They have a safe driving program that's now offered both face-to-face and online that can kind of sharpen some of your skills. There are programs that do driver evaluation and driver rehabilitation, and they can help people figure out what they need to compensate, how they need to compensate for some of these problems with driving. There's a program called CarFit, which is a national program, and they'll actually go to communities. They train volunteers, and they go to communities, and a mature driver will come with their car, and they'll evaluate for safety, all kinds of things, like are they seeing well over the steering wheel? Do they have enough room between their chest and the airbag and the steering wheel so as not to deploy it and have an injury? They look at head restraint alignment. They look at how easily they can access the brake and the gas pedal. But they also have some videos online that could help an individual or family members do their own kind of evaluation for this kind of thing. And that's www.car-fit.org. And that's a great thing. They also point out that you can get adaptive devices for your vehicle. So if you've got the problem with turning your neck, you can get larger panoramic mirrors to put on your car. If you're having problems with the pedals, you can sometimes find pedal extenders will benefit you. Leverage handles to help with opening doors. ways to adjust the seat so that it's more comfortable if you have arthritis in your spine, for example. So I think there's a lot of things that people can do before they have to give up those car keys.
We're talking with Sue Sweeney about the challenges older drivers face. She's the head of the Department of Gerontology at Medina University in Michigan.
And we want to hear from you. Are we talking about you or your family? Are you an older driver who gave up? Or is this an issue in your family that you're still trying to resolve? Call 800-642-1234. 800-642-1234. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Verrett.
And I'm Cynthia Schuster. We're continuing our conversation about older drivers and a proposal in Wisconsin to require more frequent testing of drivers 75 years old and older. Our guest is Sue Sweeney, the head of the Department of Gerontology at Medina University in Michigan.
We're taking your calls now. Are you an older driver? How does age affect your driving, or does it at all? Do you think it's a good idea to require older drivers to renew their licenses more often? Why or why not? Have you had to have this conversation with a relative about whether it's time to put away the car keys? Give us a call at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email talk@WPR.org.
Let's go right to the phones, and Richard in Oconomowoc is waiting for us. Hi, Richard.
Hello, good morning.
Hello, what's your question or comment?
Oh, my comment about your vision requirements are so true and so sincere. Back in 1981, my eye doctor had diagnosed me, and he says, boy, oh boy, you're lucky if you can ever drive a car. Now, that's back in 81, and I still drive, and I still manage to renew my driver's license, but I did it all by my intellect and passing their tests, because I really, really want to work, but I did it all by Braille.
You did it by Braille?
I did it by Braille, just out of memory rather than vision requirement.
And so, Sue Sweeney, what do you think of that? Would requiring more frequent testing actually solve the problem, or will we see people who, you know, they just don't want to give up the keys and they'll find ways around the system?
Well, it's hard. I suppose you can drive without a valid license, but if the law passes and, you know, you have to appear in person and take the test, I think that's the way it'll be. I don't really think the law is particularly objectionable. Starting around 75, people begin to see more changes, more physical changes that could impede their ability to drive well. So while I'm stand behind my statement that the ability to drive is very individualized, you know, starting around 75, the prevalence of those kinds of problems do begin to appear. And as long as it's an individual assessment, I don't really have a problem with it.
Let's go next to Debbie in Manitowoc. Hi, Debbie.
Hello. I think it would be, it is individual, but I think it would be good to have some sustained system of testing. You know, my father became gradually frail over time, and it wasn't to the point where we had to take the license away or call him in. But, you know, eventually he got pulled over by the sheriff's department, and they ordered him to take a driving test. He's very frail now, so, you know, he's not going to do that. He's not going to get his license back. But, you know, I wish there would be been a more formal system in place. He wasn't really a danger to anybody because he didn't drive very much, and he seemed to be okay until the very end. And, you know, my mother is legally blind. She's totally blind, so she doesn't drive. So it makes an impact on the family because they live in a semi-rural area. I'm ending up doing a lot of the driving for them because there's just not a lot of public transportation out there. You know, there's the senior cabs and so on, but people are a little not very well informed about that, and, you know, there's sometimes people are a little intimidated by it. So, yeah, it does affect your whole family, and it's definitely something to keep in mind as you get older yourself or as, you know, your family members get older.
Thanks for that call, Debbie. I wanted to ask you, Sue, if we start to suspect that a loved one might not be in the best health or cognitive ability to drive, how do we open up that conversation? Because, you know, many people see driving as a form of freedom.
Absolutely. Well, I really highly recommend that families start talking about driving before it becomes a critical problem, so that you've got the topic on the table. And some of the ways you can start those conversations is, like, if there's an accident in the news with an older driver, just say, you know, well, I noticed that in the news today, and I'm wondering how you're feeling about your driving. Do you feel like, you know, are you noticing that you get any confused, or that you're struggling with left turns, or that kind of thing? Or you could talk about, you know, how has the family dealt with that in the past, like with your folks? How did you handle the driving issue with them? And, you know, hear their experience as the younger family member having to deal with the older family member, and that can get the conversation going. I just think it's really important to approach it in an empathic way and a concerned way. You know, I think starting out by saying I'm concerned about, when if you have observed a problem, rather than saying, you know, I think you ought to.
Mm-hmm.
I think as we age, we like to keep a sense of autonomy and control of our lives. And so when an adult child confronts us with something, it tends to get us defensive. But if it's expressed in terms of, you know, I understand this is tough to do, or I understand that driving means so much to you, the person is a little less defensive about it. And I think it's really useful to find out, what does driving mean to the individual? Because it can mean a lot of different things. As you suggested, it means freedom to many people. To some folks, it's an important part of their identity, being a driver. For some folks, being able to get out and go for a drive is a refuge. It's a way to, you know, escape from the stresses of life and just kind of enjoy the scenery. For other people, it's having a sense of control. You know, I know my husband doesn't like anybody else to drive. He likes to be the one in charge. So if we understand what it means to the person, it helps us to be more empathic with them around facing the eventuality of giving up this freedom, this ability that they've had.
Let's take one last call from Becky in Verona. Hi, Becky.
Hi. My dad has Alzheimer's and my mom doesn't drive, but she knew that it was time for him to not be behind the wheel anymore. So before anything was done, she found local area businesses that would drive them places, pick them up and take them to the grocery store, pick them up and take them to the doctor. She got all of that taken care of, and then she called all of us kids, there's six of us all over the country, and we all came to her house for dinner, and we all sat there while she told my dad that he shouldn't be driving anymore. So I think it's really important to be prepared and to have people there to back you up, so my mom wouldn't have to do that by herself. And we just told our dad that we cared about him, and we'd hate to see either he be in an accident or be in an accident that would cause harm to someone else. We wouldn't be able to live with ourselves. And honestly, I think he was relieved, because I think he really knew something wasn't right. And it wasn't nearly as bad as we thought it was going to be.
Did it help that it sounds like you had a system already, a plan in place for him, so that he didn't have to necessarily feel alone?
Exactly. And then, like I said, my mom had already found places that would provide transportation for them. So, you know, that was a comfort, that he didn't have to worry about how are we going to get places. And you just really have to take the time to plan something like that and be supportive.
Well, thank you, Becky, for calling and telling us about that. Sue, what do you think about the way Becky's family handled that situation?
I think her mom's a really wise woman. It's very important to identify alternatives and to really discuss with the individual affected, you know, how they're going to maintain their lives without the ability to drive. So I think she did exactly the right thing. I'm very impressed.
Well, Sue, thank you so much for joining us today.
You're welcome.
It was Sue Sweeney. She's head of the Department of Gerontology at Medina University in Michigan.